Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, again, the sun is shining so nice. Today, it was such a beautiful day. And they tell me tomorrow, maybe 40, the next day, 50, and I think the next day, 60. We're going to have a wheat wave, and the snow will be melted by that time. It usually is. Well, friends, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? And here's the thought for the day. Since the old-time evangelists have almost disappeared from the scene, hell doesn't seem half as hot as it used to. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege that I have talking to people around the country, around the world, about this wonderful Jesus. And Lord, I know what you did for me, but what you did for me, you do for others. Father, I don't particularly like to preach on the subject hell. I know there's a place just like that. And I know people are headed there daily. In fact, the matter is, I was headed there too one time. Father, speak to that lost man, that lost woman, boy or girl, who are on the road to hell tonight. Bring Holy Spirit conviction upon the lost, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, listen. I've labeled this, "Oh, there is a burning hell." I wonder what would happen if every Christian in the world believed in a burning hell. Well, I can tell you one thing, soul winning, revival, and much more. Oh, I don't know how many times I have heard people say, "Cecil, how can you believe and serve a God who will send people to hell if they don't believe in His Son?" Quite simple. God does not send anyone to burning hell. You sin yourself because of unbelief. Now, if you're unsaved, this message will make you mad. But, dear friends, I preach this in love, not hate. You see, I too was on the road to a devil's hell. And I was scared stiff. I was taught as a small boy there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Now, odd as it may seem, many times a good man goes to hell and a bad person goes to heaven. Sounds like a spiritual paradox, doesn't it? But it is true. Saul of Tarsus was a Christian-hating man. He thought in his evil mind that his God, spelled with a small g, wanted him to kill or put practicing Christians in jail, beat them, stone them to death. Well, you recall the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr and the first of the seven called deacons. In fact, he actually held Stephen's coat while they were stoning Stephen to death. Stephen possessed a sevenfold fullness. Number one, he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Acts 6:5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And then it tells us also in Acts 6:3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. And that's where the first seven deacons come from. And then it tells us in Acts 6:8, a man full of power, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And then we read in Acts 6:15, full of light, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face, if it had been the face of an angel. And then we read in Acts 7:5:5, fullness of vision, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And then we read in Acts 7:60, fullness of love, and he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, and then he fell asleep. Then we read in Acts 7:56, a martyr for the faith, and behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Friends, listen to me. Saul could have stepped in and saved Stephen's life, but he wanted Stephen dead. Now, Saul was an evil murderer at heart, but God saved him and called him to do an outstanding job for the Lord. And he spent his last years in prison, and his head was cut off for the cause of Christ. Paul literally turned the world upside down for Christ, our Lord. Now, let us look at 18th chapter Luke, where he saw a rich young ruler who asked Jesus, Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why callest me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things I have kept from my youth up. Ooh, which was a bold-faced lie. No man or woman can keep all of the commandments. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, did you see where Jesus said that he was an evil person? No. His only problem, he let his wealth stand between him and the Lord. What a pity. This young man went to hell because his wealth. Now, you say, wait a minute. What's wrong with being rich? Is there something wrong with that? Absolutely not. Jesus said, how hardly shall they riches enter, the rich shall enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus gave this young man an option. Go sell what you have and distribute unto the poor. But friends, he just could not give up his wealth for heaven. So today he's in hell, where there's reaping and gnashing of teeth, where he'll be tormented in hell all for all eternity, time without end. Dear friends, are you headed for hell tonight? If so, fall upon your knees and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Turn your back on the old way of life, and he will save you. And with here, he'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. Do it right now while you still have life in your body, because after you die, there is no second chance, thus saith the Lord. All right, now let's turn to the 12th chapter of Luke. And let's begin reading in the 16th verse. And he spake a parable of them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up from many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, I think I told you this story a long, long time ago. But we had a neighbor, really a nice fellow. I liked him. And he was a good man. And during the war, he made a lot of money. And he made this statement, if I ever make enough money that I can drink all the wine I will, that's what I'll do. And he did. He filled his bunkhouse with cases and cases of wine, and he went out there and drank himself to death. Hard to believe, but it's true. He could have had Jesus and could have went to heaven. Now, he was a good man. See, there was another good man that went to hell. Okay. You see, this farmer was blessed by the Lord. Why, his small barns would not hold what God had blessed him with. So he never took time to thank the Lord for his windfall. He decided to tear the old ones down, build great ones. Now here's where he made his great big mistake. He said, man, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Dear friends, my friend, if God calls you a fool, you are in a heap of heart. You're a heap of trouble. Now another good man went to hell. You might as well say, I don't believe there is a God. God also called that man a fool. Right now, was God mean to you? You say nothing. Well, fall on your knees and cry out for God's mercy. Repent, and you don't have to go to hell, friends, because the decision is yours. Right in this very moment, he's standing with outstretched arms, saying, come unto me, all you are weak and heavy laden. And he that cometh unto the Father, I will in no wise cast out. Again, friends, the decision is yours and yours alone. God's word is full of warnings of the coming judgment. So it tells us in Romans, man is without excuse. You say, well, Cecil, what are we going to do? Well, I just had a nice drink of lemonade. Well, you say, Cecil, do you think that's fair? Absolutely. From Genesis to Revelation, God has been trying to get men and women to repent and be saved. Oh, look at the great evangelists who've crisscrossed the world begging and pleading for men to come to the Lord's table. It was too late. You know, God used Noah to build an ark, and actually it was, according to the scriptures, was 525 feet long, 87 feet wide, and 52 feet high. Noah preached for 100 years and working with his sons, building this monstrosity, and only 8 people were saved. Well, and the whole world was destroyed by a great flood. But listen, friends, everybody had an opportunity because Noah preached every night after work, he'd go out, and they'd say, "Noah, I think you're dingering a fruitcake." And one of the guys went to his religious leaders, and they had them back in those days, lost religious leaders. And they said, "Do you think this Noah guy's for real?" "So what do you mean?" "Well, he says we're going to have a big rain." "What's rain?" "He said that thing's going to float on this water, rainwater, and he's going to load the animals two by two on an ark, and they're going to float away." And they said, "Oh, it's not true. It can't be. Hey, they didn't have chainsaws. They didn't have drills. How they built that thing, only God can tell us. It must have been a fantastic job, and he did it well." But when the time came for them to load up the animals two by two, the Bible said when that ark come afloat, it said, God closed the door. That was their last opportunity to find Jesus. Right now, the ark right now is Jesus. If you want to be saved tonight, you come to him. You don't go to your church to get saved. Well, most churches, you don't hear the gospel very much, nor do you hear invitations. And here in our churches, very few pastors give invitations. I give one every time I speak. Why do you want to speak? That you want to reach people for Christ. That's our job, not just evangelists. That's laymen's job, and laymen do just as good a job as preachers. It tells us in Isaiah 55:1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he who hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Friends, salvation is cheap. No. Salvation is free, perfectly free. The poor, the rich, the black, the white, the yellow. But we all must meet at the cross. Now, it says in Matthew 22:4, "Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. Come now, all things are ready." If God had not sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, the world to die for us, we would all end up in a burning hell tonight. Let's close here with another sad story. And again, it was a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. Well, Lazarus laid at the rich man's gates, desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the beggar's sores. Finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And also the rich man died and was buried. Now, dear friends, especially you lost ones, please listen very carefully. "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his fingers on my tongue in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and those are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed. So they that which pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you, but would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded
what rose from the dead. Oh, my friend, this man had terrible memories in hell, and he was tormented in the flames. Oh, he shall be there for all eternity. What is all eternity? Time without end. Do you still want to go there? If God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart tonight, please let him lead. Let me lead you in this sinner's prayer. If you repent and receive Jesus, you will never, never see this place. And then there was Cecil Moe, lost, undone, and on the road to hell. An alcoholic, and alcohol was my God until I met Jesus. And he changed all that. I did repent, and I did open my heart, and I received Christ, and delivered me from the curse of alcohol, saved my soul, wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life, and we see a bad man going to heaven. Do you have a lost children, a mother, father? Listen, Christian, get busy. Jesus is about to rapture his church, and it will be too late. Friends, I know there's a burning hell. And that deal on TV the other night was really scary. This man was shot in the head, and he woke up in hell. That's a true story. He said, I was in hell. He said, and there was smoke, and there was flames. And he said, what got in the worst was the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and the screaming and the crying. And he knew, he said, there's no way out of this place. But by that time, the doctors got to him, and he came to, and they said, oh, I don't ever want to go to that place. And now what he does, he's going around the country telling what he saw hell, and that he don't ever want anyone to go to that place. Nor do I, beloved, nor do I. Now, the Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the one I like so well is, for God so loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, God knows your heart tonight. Some of you right now are crying. You're scared, and you have a right to be scared. But as long as you have breath in your lungs, and you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life, he'll forgive you if you repent. Tell God you're sorry. Confess that you're a sinner. The Bible said, Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You want that gift tonight? He's got outstretched arms right now. And he's certainly going to give it to you. If you let him, he sure will. Well, friends, you say, God's Holy Spirit's been working with me for several weeks, Cecil. I've been listening to you. Tonight, I know I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. So, if the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head. And, oh, beloved, please don't pray this unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, I do confess that I'm a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. But tonight, Lord, I want that changed. And so, with love in my heart, I'm opening my heart and inviting you, Jesus, to come in. In your precious name I pray. Friend, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, your name is right now being written in the Lamb Book of Life. And you'll spend your all eternity in heaven. Then you'll need to go get baptized, not to be saved, but because you're saved. Join a good Jesus-honoring church. Get in the Bible and study. Oh, God has so much for you. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you spend. Don't care how much. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. You can't afford the call. Call collect, not accepted. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.